Here we go, 1046, 700 WLW. Welcome in. It is a losing night once again for your Cincinnati Reds, and this is the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show. You and me till midnight tonight. My butler math tells me we have 1 hour and 14 minutes. I don't know if that's going to be enough. I don't know who wants to be my leadoff hitter. I'll open up the phones now. Who wants to set the table on the conversation tonight at 513-749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-ONE, #700 on AT&T. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I looked up the five stages. There's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining, there's depression, there is acceptance. I think this would be the acceptance stage. The Pittsburgh Pirates tonight out-hustled and outsmarted the Reds and scored from second base on a ground ball that Joey Votto first booted, second through high, and then had the pitcher unable to, I'm not exactly sure, I can only speculate on the combined awareness of Votto and Michael Gibbons on the play. I just know the play did not get made by the Reds. It did get made by a 91-loss team, and they stole one tonight and beat the Reds 5-4, the final score. It is. It would be accurate to offer this context. On August the 27th, the Reds were 12 games over 500. They are now 4 games over 500. Can they win 6 more to avoid a losing season? Let me say that again. On August the 27th, the Reds were 12 games over 500. With 16 games left in the season, can the Reds win 6 to avoid a losing season? They have dropped 12 of their last 16. They have dropped 7 consecutive series. In fact, I'll go back to a stat last night offered up by listener Jeff. In the first week plus of the season, and this seems so long ago, it seems another season ago, the Reds started the year 6-1. Do you know what the Reds have done since? They've gone 69-70 since the 7-game mark of the season. The Reds have played 139 games, and they've been a losing team over those 139 games. Where to begin? I don't know. Do you begin with the first inning? You know, it's funny because I tweeted after the first inning was over. I said, George Grand would be happy tonight. George Grand would be on the smiling side of the evening after the first inning because the Reds got him on, got him over, got him in. India singled to lead off the game. Schrock walked. 15 pitches into the game, there were 2 runners on and nobody out. Nick Castellanos almost hit one out. It was a fly out that advanced the runners. Votto grounds into a fielder's choice that scored a run, 1-0. Schrock stole a base. Moose flared a single, and it was 2-0, and Mitch Keller had thrown 32 pitches in the first inning. And then they did nothing in the second, third, fourth, and fifth. Including in the fifth as Drubal Cabrera. Let's check the tote board. Yep. The Asdrubal Cabrera tote board has 0-18. I asked this on Twitter. Have the Reds ever DFA'd a position player who in his time with the Reds committed more errors than hits collected? Asdrubal Cabrera is 0-18 and has committed an error. We saw that Max Schrock really isn't a left fielder. He's a guy who can hit the ball. He committed an error in the first inning, unable to pick up the baseball. And then he didn't commit an error. He just ran past a ball that my sophomore at Louisville could have fielded along the left field foul line. And Peyton doesn't really like baseball. I've received more than a few texts wondering why the hell Max Schrock was in left field. Fair question. He was scheduled to lead off the what would have been the 10th. He is a guy who had a hit tonight and had a walk tonight. I get it. I think there is some second guessing and Monday morning quarterbacking on that. Although I would give you Aristides Aquino was still on the bench. And Aquino, had he gone into play left, would have been your leadoff hitter in the 10th with a runner on second base. Aquino, who certainly can run into a pitch and hit one a gazillion miles. It's a fair question. I'm not going to swat that away. That's a fair question. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Yeah, well, DeShields was still on the bench at that point, so you could have either moved Shogo to left and put DeShields in center, or I don't know how much DeShields has played left versus center, but that option, that's a fair, and it's very easy to bring that up based on the way Max Schrock played the ball in the ninth inning. You know, I have a habit of doing this. I had started the tweet thinking the game was going to the 10th, and the tweet was, how about the Reds' bullpen tonight? 5 1/3 innings of no runs. They go to the 10th, tied at 4. And I was going to point out they had gone to Wilson, Santion, Lorenzen, Sims, and Gibbons. That group had walked one and pitched shutout baseball, bailing them out after Gutierrez went 3 2/3. And then that happened. And then that happened. 5-4, the final score tonight. Kyle Farmer had homered in the top of the 8th to tie the game. And if you're an optimist like myself, like Jeff Carr locked on Reds podcast, your wheels begin to turn saying, all right, this is the moment we're going to look back on. After all that took place, after all the hand-wringing, we will remember this as Kyle Farmer's home run in the 8th, turning the tide, turning the ship back around, heading in another direction. And that did not happen. Jonathan India almost hit a home run, got robbed. Nick Castellanos got thrown out from here to there trying to score. I will be labeled an apologist for J.R. House. The play that Gamble didn't make, once the ball popped loose, I understand the wave. I understand his house is watching and what happened. Gamble goes to the ground. The ball is not caught. I bet you could do that play 100 times and that ball would not stay directly next to Gamble. It would roll down the line or it would kick sideways off the wall back into the field of play, and it happened to drop right next from his back. He grabbed it, didn't he? I think he was on his back. He was on his back and reached down and grabbed it. And again, it'll sound like an excuse, but that part of it is being shielded by to House after the ball is not caught. That just is kind of his par for the course for Reds baseball in 2020. I'll take a timeout. We've got an hour to go. I don't know if an hour is going to be enough. I know for the first time, I think this season with my opening segment, there is not a single line available. So I think I'll take some calls as we continue. That is your recap brought to you by Servo Electric. One call, that's all. ServoElectric.com. It's the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show, 700 WLW.
The Reds are on the radio.
This is the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show, brought to you in part by EverDry Waterproofing. If your basement leaks, call EverDry. It's not dry till it's EverDry. CME Pipelining and Sewer Repair. For cleaner, faster sewer pipe repair, CMEPipelining.com. The Cincinnati VA Medical Center. Veterans, call today to find out about your health care benefits you've earned. Rumpke Waste and Recycling. Official waste and recycling service provider of the Cincinnati Reds. Stone Statements. Bring your dream kitchen to life with Stone Statements. And by Kelsey Chevrolet on Route 50 in Lawrenceburg. From our family to yours, find new roads at KelseyChevrolet.com.
It is deep and it is gone.
The Reds are on the radio.
This is 700 WLW, the home of the Cincinnati Reds.
All right, let's keep it moving. A losing night for the Reds, a frustrating night for the Reds. I'm getting used to saying that. 5-4 the final. It's the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Innings Show. Extra Innings brought to you in part by Western and Southern Financial Group, helping to make Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and enjoy life. I'll say what I tweeted moments ago. The reality is, if Joey Votto had any situational awareness whatsoever, there is no reason for him to come up throwing to first base. The ball had already been knocked. He had already knocked it down and had to turn his back to go get it. Once he turns around, play in front of him, it doesn't matter if you get the out at first base. The winning run is streaking home. If there's any awareness at the start of that play, the winning run is on second base. Once Joey Votto finally fields the ball that he knocked down and turns around, the throw is to home plate. It doesn't matter if you get the out at first base, because the winning run is going to end the game. And I will add this, and I don't know what was said and what wasn't said, but I can only hope the rest of the infield, being aware of that situation, would have been yelling, "Home!" I don't know if that happened or not. I only know what happened, and that's the Reds lost again. So let's go to the phones. Bridgetown is our first stop. Jacob, welcome to the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show.
What another disappointing night.
Yes, it was.
Let me ask you this, Lance.
Yes.
If you could compare this Reds team right now to any other team in Cincinnati, who would you compare it to?
Finding ways to lose. Who?
FC Cincinnati.
You know what? I almost said FC Cincinnati because tonight they just got their doors blown off. But you are right. They have found ways where with a man advantage or a two-man advantage to not win soccer games. So,
right. And some of these decisions David Bell is making, like pitch hitting Struble Cabrera, you could have easily pitched it Suarez or someone in that inning.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which inning Suarez. I would imagine there was there a runner on when he pinch hit Suarez. I don't recall. Yeah, there's no reason for Cabrera to be on the roster. If nothing else, it reveals how limited the options are based on the general manager and the organization to replace somebody like that. Although I would counter that Alejo Lopez today had two more hits, a walk, and a stolen base at AAA Louisville. And Alejo Lopez, since his four-hit game with the Reds, maybe one for his last 14 or whatever with the Reds before they sent him down, that one hit is more than Asdrubal Cabrera has in 18 at-bats for the Reds. So nobody wants to admit that. The thing that frustrates me is Nick Kroll will eventually release Asdrubal Cabrera. He will DFA him next week. And as the case is most of the time with Nick Kroll, by the time he wakes up to make a decision, it has cost them a couple of games or cost them a couple of opportunities to have somebody else there. And it becomes a matter of, well, I should probably do this. And it's the rookie nature of Nick Kroll as a general manager that doesn't give him the insight to be able to project ahead. He is a reactionary general manager after the fact, instead of a predictive general manager knowing and seeing where things are going. And I think it's why there will be a serious discussion, if this isn't turned around, that they'll have to replace Nick Kroll along with David Bell at the end of the season if this thing doesn't turn around.
Yeah, my honest opinion is just fire the whole staff and get a new like hitting coach, pitching coach, bench coach. Well, not bench coach, because Freddie Benedivas does a great job in Bell's absence.
The way it's turning, it's going to be a very interesting offseason for a lot of reasons we didn't anticipate. Jacob, I got to run. I thank you for the phone call. Let me go here. And Chris is on 700 WLW, the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show. Hey, Chris.
Lance, how are you doing, sir?
I can't even put it into words. I'm struggling.
Right. I'm calling to tell you that a couple things. One, I don't like listening in and you having all the great things to say, to find, to say about a losing Reds team. You normally do that. And you know, I think to myself, this man has been drinking a lot of red Kool-Aid.
Oh, I don't know. Did you listen last night?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was talking about. I was going to put two and two to put them together.
Oh.
You know, it's not the same. But remember last year, I called and I gave that I told you about, it's like being a parent of that one child that you know is going to mess up. and you still love them anyway. And that's what you have. And that's what they're doing to us this year at this time. You know what? They did great all season. And now when it comes down to it, they're going to do exactly what we hope they would not do. But it's exactly what they've been doing year after year after year after year. And they're letting us down. Completely letting us down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Chris, I got to run. Thanks for the call. Let's run through as many as we can. Chillicothe, Gabriel, welcome to the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? So I got this idea as I was on hold. I'm going to change the subject here. Let's just assume that they fired the coaching staff. What would you think if they hired Barry Larkin as your new manager?
Well, I would find it hard to believe that if this organization has blown this rebuild opportunity, that they're then going to turn to somebody who's never been a manager in the major leagues or the minor leagues. But having said that, based on the ownership of this club and the way they've operated, it's exactly what they'll do.
Well, I'm just spitballing here, but the last great team that I remember besides the major collapse in 2012 is the 90 Reds team. You know, I don't know if they can get Larkin or even Browning or someone that, because Browning has managed. He managed a league that was, I met him in Chillicothe. That's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
He coached a minor team. Dude is a great guy.
Tom Browning hasn't been in the game for a couple of years. In all due respect, there's no way in hell they're hiring Tom Browning to be their manager. It's not going to happen.
Management. Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm spitballing, but I'm just frustrated.
Yeah,
I
mean, you and me both.
You know,
go ahead.
I'll let you go. I know you got some other calls, but we'll talk soon again.
Okay, I look forward to it. Yeah, I'm not going to spend the rest of the hour talking about the candidate to become the next manager of the Reds. I'll just say this. David Bell had not managed in the majors, and everybody was upset about that. Brian Price had not managed in the majors, and everybody was upset about that. Why is making Barry Larkin the next manager, having never managed in the majors or the minors, going to make every? I mean, if you want to do the nostalgia thing, hell, that would be par for the course for the organization. So if you want to give them the idea, they'll take it and run with it, and they'll do managerial Barry Larkin bobbleheads. Yes, Jeff Carr, Locked on Reds podcast.
And I would contend there's a lot more far important questions that they must answer this offseason than who will be the manager.
Yes, absolutely. Very well said. Let me take a timeout. Chris, Al, PJ, Donovan, Mike, Chris, Josh, and others all ahead. 5-4 the final tonight. Pirates win in not walk-off, like run-off, dive-into-home-plate fashion when William Defoe, Wilmer, I think I'm combining him with an actor. Isn't William Defoe an actor? Scores from second base on an infield ground ball, and the Pirates win 5-4. What is he in, Spider-Man? Willem Defoe. He was in Spider-Man, right? Among many moves, yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
see?
Green Goblin.
That's what I was. It's a long way around to get to that. It's the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show on 700 WLW.
I hold. Here's the pitch. Farmer swings, cranks one to left field. Well hit. Going back, looking up, Alford gone. Kyle Farmer ties it at 4 with a solo laser out of here to left.
That is your drive of the game, brought to you by the BMW Store. The BMW Store, where passion loves company. Kyle Farmer's two-out, eighth-inning homer tied it at 4. Number 14, a career high, keeps adding to that total. It was 107.2 miles off the bat. In fact, Jeff Carr tells me that Reds Content Plus had tweeted, that is the second-hardest hit ball of Kyle Farmer's career. It was a home run, 381 feet. I'm spitballing during the break, and I'm running through the scenarios because I know Jesse Winker played this afternoon on a rehab, went 0 for 3. He was 0 for 2 last night. The Reds are in a bit of a pickle, and I'm trying to figure out what the easiest way out is. Tyler Naquin is still dinged up with the ribs, the collision on Saturday night, and that's why he has not played. David Bell said in the pregame, basically, they've got to make a decision tomorrow whether to put him on the injured list or if he's ready. So play it out. If Naquin has to go on the injured list tomorrow, what if Winker needs one more game of rehab? That means you have to put Naquin on the IL, bring somebody up, and then on Friday make another move to get Winker onto the active roster. Or if Naquin goes on the IL tomorrow, do you bring Jesse back maybe one day earlier than you had hoped? Maybe only make him available to pinch hit one time. I don't know, but there's a whole lot of wheels are going to have to turn if now. All of this could be taken care of if Naquin is okay tomorrow. I don't know if there's any reason to believe that's going to be the case. Then again, this team will have played shorthanded Sunday. Did they play Monday? Off on Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do if Naquin has to go on the IL. And I don't know. I guess the biggest part of that equation is how Winker felt after this afternoon getting his three at-bats. He clearly felt good enough waking up this morning after playing in a game for the first time since August the 15th last night to play this afternoon and get three at-bats. So is that enough to activate him tomorrow if, in fact, Naquin has to go on the IL? I don't know. Let's go to the phones. That's what I do know. In Madisonville, hey, PJ, welcome to the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show.
Hey, Lance, these are rough days for
yes,
sure.
Yes, they are. Yes, sir.
You know, I called with a lot of emotion in me on my beloved Red Legs. Now I've had a good 30 minutes to figure out what I want to say to you and to those listening.
Yes.
And you know what? It comes back to this. This team sucks. it's what we really are thinking. We want to say, and I want to say it, the Reds suck. And I hope someone like Votto may hear this because, look, I can barely bowl a ball down the alley, and I respect ball players like Votto and the Reds players, but right now this team is horrible, and somebody on that team needs to get some spunk in them and pull this team together, and hopefully we can come back and win the next 10 games.
Yeah. You know, if I hear one more Red or David Bell use the term things are going to turn. It's going to turn. You know what I'd like to hear somebody say? I'd like to hear somebody say this is blankety-blank unacceptable. Yeah, it's unacceptable, and it's embarrassing, and it's got to stop. And instead, it's like talking points have been handed out throughout the clubhouse. Say this,
you know, Lance,
things are going to turn.
Name the Reds team back in the 70s that had a bad starting record and came back and won it all. Remember that? You know, they're in the clubhouse, and they were losing, and they came back. They fought. They were in there, and, you know, come on, Reds. You're better than this. All right. Enough said.
I'm glad you waited. I appreciate the call. Do it again sometime.
Thanks, Lance.
Okay, thank you. Let's salute our Skyline Chili Feeling Good Player of the Game, brought to you by Skyline Chili. Feeling good, it's Skyline time. I'm going to go with Shogo. Because Shogo singled tonight to snap a career-high 0-for-18. It was his first hit in a month. August 15th was his last hit. To show you how far down the pecking order Shogo had fallen, going into tonight, in the month of September, the Reds had had 389 at-bats this month. Shogo had two of them. Going into tonight, this month, four Reds pitchers had more at-bats than Shogo. He got the start tonight, and he delivered a single. That is our Skyline Chili Feeling Good Player of the Game. Donovan Westside, welcome to 700 WLW.
Lance, there's a lot of things I admire about you, but the two most being that you're a Bob Seger guy. I know you're a Silver Bowl fan. Against the wind.
Yes, against the wind.
The Reds are... They can't do anything right, and it's been such a miserable month for them. And the other thing I admire about you is you're a happy-go-lucky, optimistic guy, and I'm the same way. But right now, there's nothing you can say optimistic about this team.
Yeah.
And I never thought that we would be sitting here talking about the season being over. We got you know, 15 games left, half of them against the Pirates, and we're in a playoff spot. And this team just, I want to root, I still root for these guys, obviously, but this team you want to believe in. But what they've showed over the past month, it breaks your heart. And yeah. I think this is, you put this, and I was talking with Jeff before, you put this in a long list of collapses or, you know, whatever you want to say about Cincinnati sports. But this hurts a lot because this team is so awesome, and they've been so awesome all year. And, you know, the way it's kind of folded up here, it's just been so disappointing. And, yeah.
That's, you know what? That is a, you have done a better job in that 1 minute of articulating this than I have in the first hour plus tonight. I am making you the caller of the night. That was very well said.
All right, Lance. Well, I appreciate what you do for the city, and keep it up, man, and
thank
stay
you.
Strong.
You made my night. Call again sometime, all right?
All right, Lance.
All right, thank you. And Bob Seger, if we're going to quote Bob Seger, then you know, roll me away. Turn the page. It's still the same. And we are riding against the wind. any other like a rock? Can we fit like a rock into the analogy? I'm a big Bob Seger fan, absolutely. These are not Hollywood Nights. I should stop. What am I laughing at? Let's hit the bottom of the hour, get a check on news. Others have things to say. We'll do On This Date in Reds History in the final segment of the show. But your chance to articulate it. As we roll on after a 5-4 losing night for the Reds, it's the Kelce Chevrolet Extra Inning Show on 700 WLW.
Divins from the belt, checks the runners to the plate, it's 2-0. Moran grounds it to Votto at first. He bobbles, recovers, feeds to Givens, out, runners coming home, throw to the plate, not in time. Wilmer Depot scores, and the Pirates walk off winners. 5-4 the final at PNC Park in Pittsburgh on a ground ball to Votto, who fed it after a bobble to Givens, and Depot never hesitated around third. Never broke stride, and he dove in headfirst around Barnhart's tag just ahead of the throw from Givens.
And with that, the Pirates had hustled their way to victory over the Reds tonight. This is the Kelce Chevrolet Extra Inning Show. Extra Innings brought to you in part by Western and Southern Financial Group, helping to make Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and enjoy life. Hey, don't forget Barleycorns for your place to enjoy the next Reds game. Watch on the patio. Lunch tomorrow at Barleycorns, one of three locations in Northern Kentucky. Try the burgers, the ribs, those dock-style wings. The moonshine meatloaf is very good. Barleycorns, get over here. And while you're at it, follow me on Twitter. They present the Twitter feed. I'm at Lance McAllister. You can join our group and comment during the show and outside of the show. A couple of notes. One, Jonathan India. This is a wild stat from Stats by Stats on Twitter. Jonathan India became the first rookie in Major League history tonight to join the very exclusive, because he's the only one, 2020-10 club. 20 homers, 20 hit by pitches, and 10 stolen bases. No rookie in Major League history. I wonder how many players, experienced players in Major League history, have hit at least 20 homers, been hit at least 20 times, and stolen at least 10 bases in a season. Because immediately I think of like Don Baylor, but I don't think Don Baylor would have stolen 10 bases in a season. Who else got hit a lot? I bet Biggio. Biggio would have done it, yeah. All right, see, look at that. Just on the fly, we're thinking of names. I want to say this about Vladimir Gutierrez. Just from the standpoint of understanding and appreciating where he is. And I know tonight, 3 2/3 innings is not what you want, and it was 5 hits and 4 runs and 3 walks. But let me give you some context here. Vladimir Gutierrez didn't pitch last year. He was suspended. He has thrown 125 innings this year, 17 of those at AAA, 108 of them on the major league level, and Vladimir Gutierrez, as a rookie, has given this team more than anybody had any reasonable expectation, any reasonable request to make. 9 wins, 417 earned run average, 125 innings, 20 starts. That's a damn fine season from a rookie who nobody had any reason to expect anything from. And I'll say it again, had he not taken the ball for those 20 starts, who else would have, and what would the results have been? You may be able to cobble together guys that give you 20. Could they have cobbled together guys to give him 20 starts with a 417 earned run average? I think he's worn down. I think that's reasonable. No innings a year ago to 125 this year? I think he's had a hell of a rookie season. Let's go back to the phones in Columbus. Hey, Mike, welcome to Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Innings.
Lance, I had to do some crunching of numbers. We're 16 games ago. Oh. This team that we're watching is what it's been all year. They open the season 6-1. They go 12-13 in April, 6-12 down the stretch. Mm-hmm. We got excited. We went 7-5 start okay in May, but then they hit San Francisco, Milwaukee, Washington, and the Cubs. They go 5-10 for 12-15 in May. Mm. They had a decent month in June. Half their 12 losses came to the San Diego Padres. We get to the week. The days leading up the All-Star break, they go 9-2. They get us all excited. They get the race. What do they do when they come out? 7-8 the rest of the month. They go 16-10, which looks great. But when you look at the run, you go, wow. 6-1 in August, they go to Cleveland. They get pummeled. They go off to Atlanta. I believe they split, but the Braves were coming on. I said to my girlfriend at that Indians game in Cleveland, I said, this isn't good. They go 6-1, and then they go 10-11 the rest of August. 16-12, four over, right?
I feel like
that's eliminated.
Yeah,
they're 500 in September.
I feel like I've ridden a roller coaster in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, and you know what? They've had three good stretches that have excited us all year, Lance. 6-1 to start the season, 9-2 before the break, 6-1 in August. That's all they've given us for a 21-4 record. The rest of the way, 54-67. This team is what it is.
Yeah, this is a team. This is the big picture version of playing to the back of your baseball card. Eventually,
absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the calculations.
Yep.
Good hearing from you. I like when people do math for me because some of my Butler math. You know, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. Let's update the home run leaders in baseball. Brought to you by Kelsey Chevrolet on Route 50 in Lawrenceburg. Find new roads at kelseychev.com. And by Papa John's Pizza. Visit papajohns.com now for a one-topping epic stuffed crust pizza for $12. Just $12. Only at papajohns.com. We'll go with the Cardinals tonight, who hit gobs of home runs. 1, 2, 3, 4. Goldschmidt hit his 26th. Arenado hit his 32nd. They stole one away from Pete Alonso that would have been a three-run home run to cut into the game and make it a one-run game. And the Cardinals win tonight 11-4. So the Reds are now 1.5 back for the second wild card. That is your home run leaderboard. Jeff Carr, you looked poised to offer a comment. Do you have one in particular?
Just thinking the way that this team has collapsed, it's, what year even compares to this? Because we were looking at a possible window of contention opening last season,
now
we're almost looking at that completely closing, if not being shattered.
Yes. Yes, because we're looking at, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch if this doesn't turn, and I'll say that because there's still 16 games. I'm not going to close it completely, but if it doesn't turn, I fully believe they'll move on for the manager. If for no other reason to create some space, they'll throw him under the bus to create some space between him and the front office and ownership, because they'll never take responsibility for this. So it'll be here, throw David to the wolves, then they'll create a buzz with whoever the new manager is. But Nick Castellanos will be long gone at that point. And on the books will be Mike Moustakas at $16 million, Eugenio Suarez at $11 million, Shogo at $18 million, and so on and so on and so on, and I'm making myself sick. Let's go back to the phones. How about here in Westchester? Hey, Chris, welcome to Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Innings.
Lance, do me a favor.
Yes.
Breathe. Breathe, my friend. Inhale through the nose.
Yes.
Inhale through the mouth.
Yes.
A quick little breath. Okay, remember, you're a Reds fan. Now,
Yes. You
know as well as I'm not a Reds fan. I'm being totally objective here. Okay, my voice is already clenched. I'm not even sweating it. However, you're a Reds fan. You do know that the math is running out. So two things are going to happen. Now, you have to compare this to, say you're watching two Broadway shows at the same time. One of the greatest ones to ever come out and one of the worst ones to ever come out.
Okay.
You're sitting there in the audience and you're watching Hamilton. You're thinking, man, this thing starts off. It's really, really good. And all of a sudden, Spider-Man falls from the ceiling and slapped onto the stage. Okay. Now, two things are going to happen.
Yes.
There's 16 games left.
Yes.
They're either going to completely blow it and there's no chance in hell.
Yeah.
Or it's going to come down to maybe a tiebreaker game.
Oh.
And your winning runner is he's on his way to home and he spontaneously combusts. And as the ashes hit the ground and the cap falls on top of the ashes, he's tagged out. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, remember, the other thing you have to remember, my friend, is you are a Reds fan.
Yes.
You have the best cure for being a Reds fan. It's called alcohol. So, you do have an out, okay? Just always remember that.
Yes.
But I've never seen a team, for some reason, it's the all-star break with you guys. It's like your Achilles heel. In the past 20 years, okay, they start on these amazing runs and everybody's got these high hopes and then they'll go down a little bit, but all of a sudden they'll come back before the all-star break and everything. They're kicking butt. Then the all-star break happens. And it's like a totally different team shows up afterwards. It really is. Go back and look at the seriously. Just
well,
go
but
back
keep,
in
but keep in mind, keep in mind, they did get swept coming out of the All-Star break, but it was just a month ago. They were 12 games
exactly.
over 500.
Exactly. For some reason, that little break. I am certain to a fact that if they just eliminated the All-Star break, the Reds would be the greatest team in MLB history. But like I said, they are the Reds, and like your last caller said, it's the team you got, man. And you can blame management. You can blame this. Lou Piniella said it best when he was talking to a bunch of reporters who were sitting there speculating the game to him. And this night, he said, "You know what, guys? I love how there's so many people out here speculating a game that is 1% skill and 99% luck."
There you go. Hey, I got to run. Have a great night. Thanks for the call.
You got it,
brother. Appreciate you checking in. Now, let me check scores quickly. Scores brought to you by our friends at Encore Technology. Visit Encore.tech. Here's what you need. Phillies win tonight over the Cubs. The Cardinals beat the Mets, and the Padres are beating the Giants. So the Cardinals lead the Reds by a game and a half. They lead the Phillies by 2.5. They lead the Mets by 4, and the Padres are playing at this moment. That is a check on your scoreboard of significance tonight. By the way, Jeff tells me that Craig Biggio entered that as a veteran, a 2020-10 club, 20 homers, 20 hit by pitch, 10 stolen bases in 1998. He also had that in 95, 97, and 98. There you go. Down the stretch we'll go, doing On This Date in Reds History, and close out with your calls. It's the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show on 700 WLW.
Cincinnati.
Hey, welcome back to the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show. We end every show, or at least the final segment, includes a trip back in time. Let's figure out what happened on this date in Reds history. This date, 1887. The Reds play the Metropolitans on Staten Island in New York in the morning, and then play the Dodgers during the afternoon in Brooklyn. They sweep the two games. This date, 1941, Reds lose to the Brooklyn Dodgers 5-1 in 17 innings at Crosley Field. All the runs were scored in the 17th inning. Paul Derringer pitched 16 shutout innings before faltering in the 17th, and he took the loss. 1950, Reds play 28 innings of baseball, dropping game one of a doubleheader to the Phillies in Philadelphia 2-1, then losing the nightcap 8-7 in 19 innings. 1965, Vada Pinson saves the day against the Mets at Shea. With the Reds leading 2-1 with two on and two outs in the ninth, John Stevenson of the Mets hits a drive to center field. Pinson slips and falls on the wet grass. He keeps his composure and he makes the game-ending catch from his back. 1972, Reds and Padres combine to strike out 28 times in a 1-0 San Diego win at Riverfront. Then Padre Fred Norman struck out 15 in a complete game shutout. Don Gullett struck out 11 in 7 innings. Now, the thing is, as I look back at that, saying they combined to strike out 28 used to be like a big thing. Like, oh, man, they struck out 28 times in the game, the two teams. Doesn't that happen like on a fairly regular basis in Major League Baseball now? 1973, Tony Perez hits a game-winning homer in the 10th to beat the Braves in front of 52,315 at Riverfront Stadium. 1977, Tom Seaver records his 200th career win, beating the Dodgers in L.A. How about 1979 on this date? Two outs in the ninth, Dan Dreesen's drive to center field bounces off the glove of Dodger outfielder Darryl Thomas and over the wall at Dodger Stadium. Reds would win the game 2-1. 1985, Dodgers again, down 6-1 to Fernando Valenzuela and the Dodgers. Reds explode for 9 runs in the 6th. They win 10-6 at Riverfront. And last but not least, this date, 1987, Reds club 7 home runs in a 21-6 win over the Braves in Atlanta. Dave Parker, 5 hits, including 2 homers. Larkin homered, Buddy Bell homered, Terry McGriff, Lloyd McClendon, and Leo Garcia homered. In fact, Garcia's home run was the only home run of his Major League career. It all happened on this date in Reds history. Al is on 700 WLW. Hey, Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Lance?
I'm okay. How about you?
No, I'm doing good. Getting ready to take a nap.
Yes. What's on your mind?
Oh, no, I'm just talking about Sleepy Buddy Bill, or not Buddy or Bill, but
David,
Bell. David
Bill. Yes.
Yeah. But he speaks a lot like his dad does, kind of slow and stuff like that. But during his interview after the game,
mm-hmm.
and just like you said, he said 37 times.
This will turn. This will get turned. It'll be all right.
I think the man's really stressed bad.
I think this whole team is playing a little stressed, and I don't think there's a solution in sight for this team. I think they are clearly feeling. I think this team is in a vice right now, and is being squeezed, and they have no answer for it.
You think they're feeling the pressure?
Yes, I absolutely do. Yes,
I totally agree with you, Lance.
Yeah,
I really do. And hey, we got the Dodgers coming up.
Oh, how about that? Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to run out. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Lance.
Good hearing from you. Here are your. You ready? Here, not to get too far ahead because there's a game tomorrow. Here is the rotation. And the lineup for the weekend, the Dodgers in Game 1 on Friday will send Walker Buehler to the mound. Buehler, 2.32 earned run average, 14-3 record. On Saturday, they will send Max Scherzer to the mound, 2.17 earned run average, and a 14-4 record. And then on Sunday, off the injured list recently, Clayton Kershaw, he have the 3.33 earned run average and a 9-7 record. So Friday, Castillo versus Buehler. Saturday, Gray versus Scherzer. Sunday, Miley versus Kershaw. Tomorrow, Wade Miley takes the ball for the Reds. Pre-game coverage beginning at 11:35. Afternoon game. Pre-game coverage here with the inside pitch at 11:35. First pitch at 12:35. Tomorrow night finds me with Rocky at Long Necks in Wilder for the Roundtable Show. 3 hours of Bengals and Bearcats, the NFL and college football. We would love to see you there. We had week one last week. We had a blast. Excited to be back. So if you're out and about tomorrow night, want to drop by and enjoy some food and drinks and talk a little football with us. Tomorrow night, Long Necks in Wilder, me and Rocky, hopefully you, for the Roundtable Show. Wish I had better results tonight. But the sad numbers in the end, Pirates 5 and the Reds 4. Thanks to Jeff Carr, Locked On Reds podcast on the other side. Thanks to you for hanging out tonight and getting us through this. Have an enjoyable Thursday. The news is next. It's been the Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show on 700 WLW.